We are going to begin with a little black, folks. We're going to sing some of these good old songs. The first one that was on my mind this morning was hymn number 31 in the little black books. Number 31. This is "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Amen. King of Love, My Shepherd. Turn there to hymn number 260. 260 is "He's Able to Deliver Thee." If you just give me a second, I need to switch to a higher magnification to read those smaller words. There we go. Hymn number 260. Nip your fist. And let's stand as we sing. "He is able to deliver thee."
He is able to deliver thee. I'd give thanks for our guests today. Welcome. And God bless you. Mm-hmm. I'd like to please, if you will, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. The word of God said, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.' And the first went and poured out the vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the Lord say, 'Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, and was, and shalt be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy.' And they heard another out of the altar say, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments.' And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these flames. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they know their tongues of pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of the pains of their swords, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of them, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, that he walk naked, and lest he shame. And he gathered them together into a place called Hebrew Tom, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the earth, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, and the throne saying, 'It is done.' And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. The great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great heavy heaven, every stone but the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the air, and for the plague thereof, which was exceeding great. And today is something else. This is a remembrance of those who give their lives for us today. There's a short verse in John 15, verses 12 and 13. Jesus said, "This is my command, that ye love one another as I love you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I'm sure that none will agree with me that when you've been in conflict, you fight alongside your friends, and you have seen friends give their lives. I miss my friends just as much as anybody else. There were thousands upon thousands that gave their lives so that we can live today. As the pastor said, you have the freedom to speak English today and to be what we are today. Because of these fallen great heroes, men of valor, that the Bible calls them. I want us to think now on our parents and grandparents, our loved ones, family members who was in the war. And those who are still fighting. We want to think of Colin in the Ukraine. He's fighting alongside the Ukrainians as we speak. I pray that he's okay, that he returns safely to us. I pray for all those of my regiment, and from Norman's regiment and every other regiment that fights against the tyranny of the Hamas, Hezbollah. I pray for Israel, for the armies of Israel, for they lay down their lives just the same way. But the one thing we must remember today most of all is the sacrifice not only they gave, but what Christ gave. Christ gave his self upon the cross. He died for our sins. And through his blood we are washed clean. Through his sacrifice we gain life eternal. And that can never be forgotten. So please, remembering the thoughts, all of them, especially Christ, lest we forget.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. I want to remind everyone this morning that we're on to our little yellow prayer lists. If you don't have one, they're out on the counter there. Help yourself to one. But that is the updated prayer list as of last night. Please do, of course, call those names out in prayer as your week goes on. Even with our reduced numbers this morning, not counting our visitors, if we all took a prayer list and even one day in the week, call those names out every day of the week, at least you and I would be prayed for, and of course all of these things as well, with a rest day on Sunday. But please, please do take a prayer list and be much in prayer. We appreciate the Bible readings and the sentiment from that, from Steve this morning, and of course all of the other days that we have people reading for us. There was just one verse that really came to mind. As Steve was reading there, it was, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And we would do well to remember that God's judgments are true and righteous, that opinion and politics and whatever feelings or thoughts that flip through our heads, and they do, if it doesn't agree with God's word, they have, they're just nonsense. As Paul said in Galatians, if something comes preaching another gospel, let it be anathema. And the last thing, just in Steve's it's not a eulogy, but you know what I mean, after his reading. I always loved that verse, greater love of no man than he lay down his life for his friends. It's just not possible for us to love greater than that. But we must remember that while we were yet enemies of Christ, Christ laid down his life for us. He has a greater love than that. He wants everybody to be saved. So please do remember that. Does anybody have, switching back to the prayer list again, very briefly, does anybody have anything that they would like to add? Go ahead there, Steve.
As you know, the Remembrance Day went off the terrible fighting, and the police were caught up in it. Everything, there's 300,000 Palestinian mosques. I'd like us to pray.
Definitely.
I'd like us to pray for the police. I'd like us to pray for those people who are innocent who got caught up in it. I'd like the Lord to put a stumbling block before the mass and every other church with Christ on it.
Well, I was just about to say, you don't have to pray for God to put a stumbling block in front of people that hate him and his people and his adopted people, which is you and me if you're saved. And because God has already promised in Genesis 12 that he will curse those that curse Israel and he will bless them that bless Israel. So he is already working on that. Please do pray for miracles for the soldiers that literally at the cold face. There is a lot going on. I don't know if you have noticed that it's already about how difficult it is for the people in Gaza. And there is, years and years ago, we saw the same carry on here with the IRA and the UDF and the Republican movement and the Loyalist movement. But what a difficult time the Republicans were having. But there was never any mention of any of the bombings or anything like that. If you want to have a war, have a war. Everybody get into a field, stand at either end, the last man standing is the winner. But don't complain whenever there is a backlash or retaliation for your actions. You brought those upon yourselves. Hamas and Gaza has brought that all upon themselves, as has the West Bank. But just like that, the Bible says, they will have trouble on every side, but they will be like a fire devouring a sheaf. They will win. The only place in the Bible that talks about Israel getting a really difficult time in these days is during the Revelation, when the Antichrist comes back, and God says to the Jews, if you're in the field, don't go home, go to the hills. If you're on the roof, don't even go inside, run for the hills. Please do pray for the Jewish people. Very, very important. There will always be a place in Bethel and in our house for anybody that loves the Lord, God's people, the Jews, whenever difficult times come. It is always worth remembering that. Miss Pat this morning, Steve was saying she's not well. Miss Will this morning, I was going to say we miss Lynn this morning, but we don't because she's over there. We miss Colin. He is trying to get out of the Ukraine. He's trying to get his military ID. And assuming he needs that to get his money and to get free passage. So please do pray for him to get home in one piece. And please do pray for the leaders of all of our countries. America, Britain, Europe, Russia, China, North, South Korea, Australia, Taiwan. You name it, Canada, oh goodness, the world is in an awful place. place, but I continue to see the 10 kings mentioned in Revelation, and these guys that stand up and make these proclamations across the world. When Joe Biden was able on the day of his inauguration to cut off power and oil pipelines from Canada and Alaska to America. When you can do that, you're a king, aren't you? And Macron and many others just make these proclamations like they were anointed by God to just let whatever thought flooded through their head govern the country. Please do pray for our leaders. We really are commanded to pray for those that have the rule over us. We must pray for them. My prayer is simple. Oppose at every turn those that hate you and your word. And bless those that love you and are promoting Christian and family values. But we live in awful times. Please make sure, no matter what's going on around about you, that you keep looking up. That's what the Lord said. But it's good advice, and just remember that all of his laws and his commandments are just and righteous, true and righteous. Is there anything else we need to add to this? We're going to put you folks on the prayer list whilst you're here, so that and you're prayed for specifically by locals, i.e. us. And if you need anything when you're here, remind me to give you my phone number here before you go, and you can give us a shout if you find yourself in dips or you want a cup of tea. I think that's about that, is it? Yeah? You got anything, Norman? Mm-hmm. All good. Let's pray then, and then we will sing another song. Amen. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this new day, and we thank you, Lord, for all of those that have given their lives to Lord, just to save us from the nonsense going on in the world. And Lord, we thank you for them. And we do remember them at this time, even in the midst of people that hate everything that's good and proper, we still remember those that sacrificed so that we could have lives, Lord, and much freer lives. And we do, of course, thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, as well. Give everything, Father, so that we could be saved. Not just have a life, but have an eternal life with you in heaven. And a life worth something down here, my Lord. Please bless us, Lord, as we take this time. Please be one of our number. And we do remember, Lord, our absent brethren. Pray for Frank and Colin, for Will. I pray for John and Pat to sit this morning. And for each of the heads that are bowed in your presence now. For our country and those that need it, and for the countries around the world, Lord, and those that are in charge of them. I pray that you would constrain them to do the right thing at all times, Lord. At the very least, just show the people that put them there, Lord, just what sort of people they actually are. You know, Lord, it would be great for you to come back. It would be great, Lord, for you to demonstrate your power. And, Lord, and just putting decent people there and giving them a wee taste of what good people can do whenever they're doing things right. We really do need you, Father. But I pray you, Father, that you'd use this as a time of refreshing, of comforting, of strengthening, of little bit of an addition of wisdom. But Lord, for our daily bread, we pray you for it. We pray you be one of our number. We pray that you would just give us what we need this morning. And not ourselves, Lord, but everywhere where the Bible's open and the full counsel of it is preached. Thank you for loving us. We thank you for your Son most of all. And Lord, for an opportunity to do something on this world for you in the here and now. We thank you for all of it. And we ask all of these things and our private prayer requests and petitions in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That just reminds me, I forgot to ask about private prayer. Does anybody have a private prayer request? 1, 2, 3. Okay. I will put those down. Right. Let's grab our hymn books again. We're in the wee black one. You want to take a turn there. Wee black hymn book. Amen. Where are we? had a couple more than that, Mark. There we go. Hymn number 35. Hymn number 35 in the wee black books. This one is No One Understands Like Jesus. Hymn number 35. No one understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Meeting at the throne of mercy, he is waiting for you there. No one understands like Jesus. When the days are dark and grim, no one is so dear as Jesus. As your every care on him, no one understands like Jesus. Every boy sings and tenderly whispers from God, and the broken heart begins. No one understands like Jesus, when the days are dark and grim. To hymn number 76, we'll stand as we sing Once in Royal David's. Number 76, Black Book, Once in Royal David's.
Amen.
I am not normally a person that watches the clock. I hope you have nothing to do before 12:30 this morning or this afternoon. But it is amazing how long 2 minutes of silence is. Think what it's like for an adult. Wonder what it was like whenever you were about that high and all your neurons and you're growing and you can't stand still. But it's very small token and a nod in the direction of all of those that have given their lives for us. We think that's a long time to stand quietly, but we could watch our favourite movie each week. Should it be an hour and a half or 2 hours or 2.5 hours long, and we still wouldn't think it was long enough. Amen. We're in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be reading from verse number 22, and I'd like to bring you a few thoughts on following the Lord, following the Lord. The Word of God says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, excuse me, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer again, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we pray you, Lord, and thank you for this word that we have opened this morning. And pray you, Lord, not just for us, but everywhere that one of your children is opening your word, is thinking about it, studying on it, is asking you questions about it, Lord, that you would open each one of our understanding. Not just here in Northern Ireland, Lord, but right the way across the world. Please bless this time, Father, that we've set aside. And please, Lord, I pray, use it to shape and to mold us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we do pray and remember Israel with everything that's going on. Please bless us and Lord, we ask all of these in the name of your Son, according to your will. Amen. 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 This is one of, I was going to say, the more notable miracles, but every single miracle was notable in itself to the people that took part in it and the people that indeed were affected by it. But this is the biblical account of the Lord Jesus Christ walking on water. Whenever you write the rules of existence, whenever by your force of will the rules of physics and everything behave themselves, it's not a big stretch for you to be able to tell them to take a time out whilst you walk in the water or whilst you call someone back from the dead. This took place shortly after the Lord fed maybe 15 or 20,000 people, it says 5,000 men, but that wasn't counting the women and children. And again, he did that to show that he was the same God that fed hundreds of thousands in the wilderness about 1,000 years previous. In other words, another demonstration of he is the same God today as he was whenever these words were penned, as he was whenever he brought his children out of Egypt. He has gone up to pray in the mountain, and he has sent everyone away, because sometimes we need a little bit of peace and quiet whenever we take time with the Lord. Being in church is great, and it's great to know that there are believers right the way across the world. It is good to know. It's not a good place to be if you were like, if anyone recalls to mind, Elijah, sitting in a cave on your own, thinking that you're the only one that's serving the Lord. The Lord had, 7,000, 5,000, a lot of people that still have not bowed the knee to Baal. So he sent everyone away. And he was up on the mountain, and he was praying. And all the while, the disciples, and I'm sure maybe a few others, were in their boats rowing back to the end. And once Jesus has finished praying, and the Word of God notes, Matthew notes, that the ship was stuck in the sea, and the wind was blowing against it. No matter how hard they tried to head for home, the wind was against them. In fact, they must have been struggling for a good old time. They must have been worn down, and maybe even thinking in the boat, hold on a second, we've been serving the Lord, we have seen all these miracles, things are getting a bit tight here. And there comes Jesus walking on the water. One of the other accounts shows us that he made as if to pass them, as if to walk the whole way home. Fishermen are notoriously superstitious. They have all sorts of things for good luck, and they won't do things, and they will do things hoping that a catch will be better or the weather will be better. They thought it was a ghost, and they thought that they were sent for, as they say. They thought they were done, and they cried out. Maybe like Jehoshaphat, they cried out, Lord, please save us. And straight away, Jesus, knowing their fear, and Jesus always knows what's going through our hearts and minds, he says, look, it's me. You don't have to be afraid. And a number of times he said that to them, even whenever they were in the upper room after Christ was risen from the dead. He says, don't be afraid, I'm not a ghost. I have flesh and bones. Handle me and see. Now this is, I love this portion of God's word. There's this one, and there's John chapter 10 later. They're pivotal in my Christian life. Because Peter says, straight away, Lord, if that's really you, call me to you, and I will go. Now, I know I always mention it whenever we're speaking about this portion of God's word. I would like to think that Peter vaulted over the side and that his mates tried to grab him, being fishermen. I am sure they knew many people that had drowned in the Sea of Galilee. just going about their normal business, a slip, a mistake, contrary weather, a wave just washed somebody over the side and they were gone. And I have a notion, even though it was the Lord on the water, and even though Peter had spoken to the Lord, that sometimes there's just some things you don't do. I'm sure the fishermen would say, if they were electricians, Lord, if that's really you, and I put my fingers into the plug, I'm sure I will gain electrical powers for a very short while. I'm sure you might. You might have 240 volts going from your fingers right down to your toes. And your hair might go frizzy. But you don't do these things. But Peter did. I don't know, as I was going, I don't know that he held on to the boat when he put his foot in the water and his feet didn't go in, so he was. But either way, he let go of the boat and he walked on the water. God granted his request. God never called anybody to walk on the water. Peter asked him if he could walk on the water, and he said, that's okay. Peter volunteered. And you need to know, this is probably one of the greatest personal experiences that any of God's disciples ever had with God, to walk on the water. And everything was great. Everything was fine. Until Peter looked around. Because, you know, sometimes keeping your eyes on Jesus can seem to us to be a little bit boring. Jesus said, thou shalt not kill, lie, cheat, steal, swear, worship idols. Jesus said to be respectful to your mommy and daddy. Jesus said to get out into church. All of those things, that's only the Ten Commandments, the moral law. There's about 600 other commandments that make up the whole of the law. And that can seem a bit dry at times. Whenever the world offers drinking, partying, drugs, violence, sensuality, thrills, spills, money, lands, houses, popularity, power. Sometimes the gospel can be, can seem to the old man, which we all have one, can seem a little bit dry, a little bit thin. So what do most of us do? Oh, that seems very interesting. God goes out of our heads, and all of a sudden we start to sink. I am thankful that the Lord will treat us just like he treated Peter. He will let us sing until we call for him. Peter started to sink. Maybe he felt the waters in the soles of his feet, but then the water started to creep up to his ankles. And he thought, hold on a wee second. And he put his eyes back on the Lord. And he said, Lord, save me, as he was going down. And he was so close to Jesus. Jesus was able to reach out his hand. Always keep your eyes on the Lord. And it doesn't matter what's going on around and about you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, I must say personally, about a month ago, whenever the people in Gaza attacked the people in Israel, for the first time in a long time, I felt that. I identified with the hardship that they were. I was annoyed for them. I was shocked for them. That other fiasco over in Russia, in Ukraine, I was angered that so much of our money and so much of America's money and Europe's money and companies around the world went into helping one communist cross-dressing dictator fight against another communist dictator. It was a money laundering operation. It still is a money laundering operation. And I wish people would stop being killed over it. I really do. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus even when our heart is telling us something else. I know sometimes that we would like to twist thick heads off stupid shoulders and kick kick the heads down the road like a football. We are supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord. The Lord said, you are not of that spirit. When Peter asked him to call down fire from heaven, he said, that's not us. All these folks, he said, they're condemned already. We're here to save them, not to destroy them. So if you're busy about the Lord's service, and even when you're not, keep your eyes on Jesus. There are a lot of things. And the devil doesn't wait till the bell rings and comes out swinging. The devil's whispering in your ear whenever you're sitting in your corner. The devil's poking you when you're sitting in your corner. The devil's sticking pins in you when you're sitting in your corner. And whenever the bell rings, sometimes you can be standing there wondering where the fight is, and you've lost already. When you're on the Lord's service, a Christian, your life belongs to Christ. He has just given you stewardship of it again. Keep your eyes on him until it's completed. And even after that. And if you do find that you get turned around, call to the Lord, and he will help you. As it said in Revelation, where we were reading, not in 16, but in 2. Remember your first love. Get back there again. If and when you volunteer for service to the King of Kings, or if you just simply answer God's call, remember that God is a very big God, a very powerful God. And most times, the limits of God's influence on our lives are set by us, not by the church. I know there's a lot of churches that, we don't do that. We don't memorize Bible verses in this church. Why wouldn't you? The Bible, Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation. Why wouldn't you have it installed? It's like having what is the best Duracell battery? Is it Super Ultra Plus? The last 3 or 4 times. That's like having a pack of those batteries right there on Christmas Day. And does anyone remember Big Track whenever it came out? And you could program it to do this, that, and you've got a Big Track. Oh, that's wonderful. I need batteries. Oh, I have batteries. They're in that packet right there. And I've got Big Track. And it's great to have the batteries, and it's great to have Big Track. But when you put them all together, the results are so much greater. And that is for us. It is great to have the Word of God, and it's great to be alive, and it's great to be speaking English, and it's great to be on your way to heaven. But life will be so much better whenever you put all of that together. We need to remember that whether we volunteer for service or God calls us for service, that Jesus wants us to follow him. And that's just the long and short of it. He said the servant is not greater than his master. We don't have to invent some new way of worshiping Jesus. Just listen to what God says. My personal example is for many years, when dropping folks home from church, we would drive past the big shopping centre about half a mile in that direction there. And I'm old enough, unfortunately now, with enough grey hairs and wrinkles to remember the days that on a Sunday, the only place that had cars parked outside of it were churches. And I used to say, being very sarcastic, there's the biggest church in Derry, with hundreds of cars parked outside, and everybody's getting ready to worship their God. And I remember saying that for weeks, and maybe even a month or two, it just became part of the ride home, there's the biggest church in Derry. And then one day I said, there's the biggest church in Derry. Do you know what every church needs? They need someone to preach the gospel. And just in that instant, the Lord put it upon my heart. He said, Mark, you've got megaphones. You've got a brass neck. All you need is me. You've certainly got a big enough mouth. You could talk for Ireland. If it wasn't for that clock, I probably would be. We're not stopping yet, Steve. Don't worry. Go and preach. And there's more churches than just this little Bethel Baptist church. There's, I don't know, many Presbyterian churches. There's 4 or 5 on the water side and Drumahoe. There's no end of Methodist churches, no end of Church of Ireland churches, no end of Catholic churches, little charismatic churches. But where are they all? It's not written in the church constitution, thou shalt not preach the gospel in a car park. We can do whatever we like. When God calls, answer. And we have had many eye-opening moments. Have one minister come up and say, you're not doing it right. He said, I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you're not doing it. And there was a wee Catholic woman came over to me just 2 minutes ago and said, I really needed that today. Mm-hmm. What God says, it'll always be in line with the scriptures. That's all you have to worry about. If it agrees with the scriptures, you're on a winner. And if it doesn't agree with the scriptures, there's someone trying to take a hand to you. The Lord wants us to follow him. First of all, in obedience, I'm just going to take a few things about the life of Christ. And hopefully and I know we've learned a lot over the years, but hopefully even a reminder, the Lord obeyed his Father. The greatest example is in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Christ was arrested. I think it's Luke. Luke records that there was so much stress on him. You ever been caught between a rock and a hard place? But no matter what way you turn, it's going to cost you. And Jesus sweat, the little blood vessels in his sweat glands, they burst, and it was like he literally was sweating blood. And it's only a few words that are recorded for us. Father, he said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's only a few words. But we don't understand the pressures upon Christ at that time. Christ was holy. He was sinless. He still is holy, and he still is sinless. He was life incarnate. Death was a foreign concept to him personally, even though he could see it in all of the people around him. He was used to being worshipped by angels, not having to. Can you imagine Jesus picking up even a beautiful steak, about an inch thick, with a strip of red up the middle, just done, a little bit brown at the top and the bottom, seared in the top, seared in the bottom, a little bit of salt and pepper, and you and I, or not me anyway, not, I know Norman, mouth would start watering, and I could just eat the steak and not worry about chips or bread or anything else like that. And we would be thinking, oh, that felt so good. I feel good with the iron and the protein, etc. after that. Jesus picks that up and he says, I can see that rock really in my hand. That beautiful steak was brought about by the death and part of my creation. Even the people eating it, I can see the clock running out on your lives. I can see the wrong decisions you made, and worse than that, I know I'm going to pay for them. It wasn't just, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Wasn't it? Jesus obeyed God even when it cost him. And it did cost him. It cost him everything. And we're called to obey God. And the first thing God says to anybody is get saved. Well, it might not be. He might say, you know, this is wrong. Do you have a look at the Bible? This is wrong. And this is right. You have done this wrong. You're liable for a payment for it. How are you going to pay? And then he says, by the way, my son will pay not just for that, but for all of your sins, if you'll trust him as your Savior. And he'll do it for free, and it'll be forever, and it'll be sure. It'll take up as much room in your life as you want to give it. You don't have to worry about losing it, because God the Father and God the Son keep it in the palms of their hands. You can go as far with it as you like. You can do as much with it as you like, but you won't get into heaven without it. That's what God says. And so the first thing that anybody should do is say, Lord, please save me. And then we should be saying, Lord, what is it you'd like me to do? lot of us were at the, I feel that is wrong just starting off straight away if you're talking about being a Christian. I feel. And if you start saying my truth, the next thing you're probably going to feel is a sharp pain in the side of your head as I try and reset your thinking. Your truth is your opinion or your feelings. God's truth, and as we were reading in Revelation, his righteousness, his judgments are true and righteous. His thoughts are what's right. We should also be mindful of what we say. The Bible says we'll give an account of every idle word. And the Lord spoke many of them. My book is 1,800 words long. The record of God's men and God's interactions with men. And he said, you're going to be held accountable for the things that you say, because the things that you say affect people. People are going to be directed towards God by what you say, or directed away from God by what you say. I have never found the fence to sit on that's just in the middle of the road. It doesn't happen like that. But I want for you to go even further and say that God will even judge what goes on up in there. Because in Matthew chapter 5, I think it is, the Lord said, and he just mentioned two or three things. He said, you've heard that it was said of old time that thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a man or a woman lustfully commits adultery with him in their hearts. So it's not just what we say, it's our thinking. And I know thoughts shoot through our heads. If we get thirsty, we think, oh, I'd love a Coke. Because you just saw a 20-foot by 10-foot poster telling you that Coke is wonderful. Or you're feeling hungry, I would love a Big Mac followed by a KFC, because you've just driven past a Big Mac poster with a KFC poster on the other side of the road. Those thoughts flip through your heads. But we are not at the mercy of other people's thoughts. When it comes right down to it, we do what we decide to do. We can choose. So not only that, we should consider God in our minds much, and it will help us get rid of all the nonsense. And it doesn't matter who you're talking to. John the Baptist spoke to the common man, but he also spoke to you and about Herod. He said, it's not right for you to marry your sister-in-law, Herod. That's your brother Philip's wife. He didn't like that and locked him up, and eventually it cost him his head. But Jesus spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees in the same way that he spoke to the impotent man at the pool of Siloam. The same way that he spoke to the two blind men, or blind Bartimaeus, to the lepers. He told people what it was they needed, and that is the gospel. And you know what, friends? People's needs have not changed. We should follow Jesus in speaking the gospel. And just in case a soul didn't get it, it was the last thing Jesus said before he went to heaven. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Another thing that Jesus used to do was anybody that came to him were healed. Didn't matter. He wasn't waiting for someone to pay $100 or £100 to sit at the front of the church. He'd take his jacket off and wave them at them, and because you're sitting at the front of the church, you're healed by Benny Hinn or some of those other fruitcakes, those mercenaries and profiteers. Anybody that comes to Christ, he will save them. The Bible says he'll never turn anybody away, and he'll never cast anybody out. And maybe someone who's not completely satisfied with the preacher, they might walk out, but it might be you that sees them the next day in the street. And it won't be the songs, and it will not be the eloquent speaking, it might just be the Spirit of God in you bearing witness with the Spirit in them that you're a child of God, and they want what you have. It might be the smile on your face, it might be the unhurried gait, it might be your conversation. People need to hear the gospel. And that will save them from a bad case of death. a very bad case of death. It's fatal. That is like a sucking chest wound that'll kill you just as surely as a bullet to the head, friends. You need to be saved. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Another thing that we should follow Christ in is prayer. I think one of the best prayers that I remember in the garden of it and in the Bible, apart from the one in the garden of Gethsemane, was the prayer of Lazarus' tomb. He said, Lord, I know that you hear me. You always hear me. But I'm saying these things so that the people around about me know that it is you and me that raised Lazarus from the tomb. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. God hears your prayers. But sometimes, I don't know if you've come across children or people that you're mentoring or leading. And sometimes the things that they say are just downright silly and they're not even worth a reply. And sometimes, let's be honest, we like to think of ourselves as mature adults and we can be let out in Northern Ireland by ourselves. Never on your own. Or anywhere else by ourselves, but in God's eyes, we're foolish children. We're sheep needing a shepherd. Sometimes you don't get a reply to your prayers because the Bible says there's a reason you don't get stuff. It's because you ask amiss for it to consume it upon your lusts sometimes. I'll give you an example. Whenever the national lottery first came out in this country, that's about 30-something years ago. How's about that? 30 years of a tax on the poor of the country. I joined the syndicate and work. And I used to think, if we ever win this, I'm going to buy a car that's bigger than the managing director's, and I'm going to park it in his place right outside the front. For some strange reason, my syndicate never won the lottery, I never got the big swanky car, and I could never park it out the front because I wanted to do it. But I got the home I needed. I got a company car handed to me for 8 or 9 years. I got a wife given to me. I have a church and a church family, and I have friends and brothers and sisters. Don't be afraid to ask what's on your mind. It doesn't mean you're going to get what you want, but you'll get something that maybe you didn't expect. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, tell God about everything. Everything. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. We need to follow Christ in prayer. And I can guarantee you in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a lot of prayer about everything there. I want for us also, and I know sometimes in these last days, before the Lord comes for us in the air, before we come back to the world with God, that things are tight for Christians. The world is not Christocentric. Even in this country that used to send missionaries out across the world, every country in the world, I am sure, received a missionary from the UK at one point. People can be a bit prickly. But you need to know that the brethren are the brethren. The Word of God says to you and I that you'll know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Because let's be honest, the world couldn't love us. When we start talking about Jesus, everybody starts feeling bad straight away. But bear in mind, Jesus used to fellowship with God in the Garden of Gethsemane. He resorted there many times and prayed many times all night. But remember also Elias and Moses that came down one day to fellowship with Christ in the presence of his disciples and scared the living daylights out of them. Oh, Lord, what do you want? Oh, build 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias. They didn't know what they were talking about. They were scared witless. There is comfort to be had in the brethren. It's a lonely place out there in the world. We can receive comfort not just from the brethren, but when we seek the company of God as well. So remember that and follow Jesus in that. I know a lot of times Christian life sometimes tells the bad news before the good news. But we also need to be like Christ whenever he rejoiced over the 70 that were sent out 2 by 2. And they came back and said, "It's amazing, Lord. We're able to cast out demons. We're able to heal the sick. It's crazy." And he's, "Good for you guys. Good for you." We should never be bitter when a brother or sister in Christ is blessed. And God literally puts his hand on them and they surge ahead in their Christ. Don't ever be bitter against a brother or sister that's doing well in their Christian life. If you can't go out and do what they're doing, help them along the way. Be a tiny part of it. Rejoice with those that are rejoicing, the Bible says. But also, I know, mourn with those that are mourning and be there to comfort them. Jesus didn't get angry and say, "Well, I wanted to cast that demon out." It's not God. God's happy whenever we're standing on our own feet. Whenever we're being the children, hopefully not the little children, but the big children we're supposed to be. Another thing that we need to remember that and follow God in is little children. And we need to be very, very careful and gentle with little children, because there is a horrendous warning for anyone that would abuse them. And I can tell you there's going to be a lot of teachers are going to be lining up for millstones to be hung around their necks rather than God get their hands on them when they're pushing this sexual education upon little children. Some of those people are going to rue the day they ever ran that flag up their flagpole whenever they started teaching this nonsense to the little children and turning them not just away from God but from away everything that's good and proper. Interposing themselves between a child and their parents. You don't have to tell your mummy or daddy about that. Here's contraceptives. Here's an abortion. Don't worry about that. Don't tell your mummy and daddy. Those people ought to be put to death. In fact, at the very least, they should be put in jail. They used to do that whenever people abused little children. But now, just like everything else, they have a spot in the government. We need to be very careful. Because regardless of whether you're a mom or a dad or not, every little child looks up to an adult. And we should be very circumspect and Christ-like when it comes to working with little children. And one personal example that always springs to mind in that case is whenever we were in an airport. If it wasn't whenever I was married, it was whenever I was working and flying over to London. And I was just sitting, and there was a bunch of folks in the airport. And there was this little child walking about. I never paid it that much mind, but I kept an eye on them. And then they started crying, and nobody paid it any mind. I let it cry for a minute or two, no mummy or daddy. So I went over and picked them up and comforted them and sat them on the bench that the PA was working at, and I said, "I have just found this little child and they're crying. Would you put a call out for their mummy and daddy?" Nobody else was going to do it. We should be careful with the little children. Jesus blessed the little children, and we ought to follow Jesus in that. And just in case you think all of those things make you a doormat, Jesus opposed those that needed opposed. He called Herod an old fox. That just shows he wasn't on the same page as Herod. He called the scribes and the Pharisees hypocrites, children of the devil. Sometimes there are people that need to be opposed. And whether that is opposed by your action or your inaction, people need to know the reason you're doing it It's because it's not right. What they're doing is not right. Doesn't make you a doormat being a Christian. It should make you stronger and give you a reason to stand up and say and do the right thing. Those are just a few examples of the things that the Lord did that we ought to follow him in. I am sure you could find other things that Jesus said and did in the Bible that would be a good example even for yourselves. The last one was always do the right thing. Don't let your pride speak out. Do the right thing. Because if it wasn't for Jesus doing the right thing, this ball that we're on right now, floating through space at what, 25 or 30,000 miles per hour, would be a lifeless rock. Because about 2,000 years ago, when they laid hands on God Almighty, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels down to the world right now, and one of them was fit to kill 180,000 men of war in one night. Bear in mind the battle that we fight. It's for men's souls, yes, sometimes we have to defend ourselves, and the Bible's fine with that. I'd like to close with, regardless of what it is God calls you to do, be faithful with. There is no better person for the job that God calls you to do than you. And I love Matthew 11, so I'm going to finish with that, 28, 29, and 30. This is what Jesus said, his open invitation. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you for your good time. I know I've gone over just a little bit, as usual. Steve will be saying to me as the service coach, you shouldn't be watching the clock. There you go. Amen. Let's see what we have in our little black book. Hymn number 16, if you'd like to take the wee black hymn books and turn to hymn number 16. We'll stand as we sing, He Lifted Me. Hymn number 16.
Chains of night, the grace of life. He should have lifted me from sinking sand and lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me from shades of light, the flames of light, for grace's day. He lifted me.
Thank you all for your good time and attention. I appreciate you being here. God bless you. Very safe journeys, not home, but onward and home. And look forward to seeing you as and when. God bless you. Let's close your eyes and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time, Lord, to spend in your presence. We have great promise that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you'll be there in the midst. And we thank you, Lord, this morning. Please be with our brothers and sisters across the world, wherever it is they might be. Please bless, keep, protect, and provision, and strengthen Israel, Lord, at this time. And I pray, Lord, for wisdom and righteous judgment for the leaders of all the countries of the world. Please, Lord, I know even though these are great big things, Lord, you're still interested in us, and I pray for the issues that each one of us has. Please strengthen us too, Father. We love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. And we ask all this in the name of your Son. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We are dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.